I'm Rob Jansen from the U.S. Naval Research Lab, and as Ian said, I'll be talking about throttling TOR bandwidth parasites. So this is joint work with Paul Syverson, also from NRL, and Nick Hopper from the University of Minnesota. All right, so we're going to be talking about the TOR network. So TOR is this magical network that a client can send his messages through to communicate with a server on the internet. And when the message comes out of the TOR network, it has a property that the server will not be able to determine the source of the message. So the client is anonymous. Now, TOR is actually pretty efficient. Over the past year, it's operated at roughly 65% utilization. So this graph shows the bandwidth history of the relays in the TOR network and the advertised bandwidth. So by simply dividing these two numbers, you get 65%. So I've been told that a typical ISP generally operates at roughly 30% utilization. So TOR is actually doing fairly well at using its available capacity. Unfortunately, TOR is also slow. Actually, TOR is slower. So TOR is slower than direct communication. Okay, so we did a little experiment where we downloaded differently sized files, 320 kilobyte files for web traffic, 5 megabyte files for bulk traffic over high bandwidth PlanetLab nodes. So these graphs show the time to download these differently sized files. So the x-axis shows the download time, and these are CDFs. So what we can see here is that it takes roughly 4 times as long to download these differently sized files through the TOR network as it does to download them directly. So there are a variety of reasons why TOR is slower. We're going to focus on one of the reasons, and this is the traffic that's coming out of the network. So there are a couple of studies done in recent years. There was a study published at PETS in 2008 that looked at the traffic distribution of the traffic coming out of the network. And what they found was that roughly 40% of the bytes coming out of the network were attributable to BitTorrent traffic, while 58% of the traffic was attributed to HTTP traffic. They also found, as you can see in the upper right pie chart, that only 3% of the flows were actually attributable to BitTorrent. So what this shows is that there's a small fraction of users that are using a disproportionately large, or are transferring a disproportionately large amount of data through the network. So this study was repeated a couple years later in 2010 and published at NSS. And they had similar findings. They found that 52% of the bytes were attributed to BitTorrent and 11% of the flows. So I hope this illustrates that one of the problems that TOR is facing, and that BitTorrent is basically leeching TOR's capacity. So one solution to solve this problem is to throttle the BitTorrent users. And the hope is that if we can throttle the BitTorrent users, we'll improve performance for a vast majority of the clients. So by throttling BitTorrent, we can also support more users. And this will help improve client diversity on the network and improve anonymity. So if we can take out one BitTorrent user that's using a lot of the data, we can replace him with several lower bandwidth users. And the hope is we can do both of these, both increase performance and also support more users. All right, so I've just described the problem and our main motivation in this work. Before getting into some of the algorithms that we designed, I'm going to talk a few more details about how TOR works. And using those details, we'll get an understanding of how throttling can be effective at solving this problem. So remember, I said that TOR is this magical network that client can use to communicate to servers. Well, actually, it turns out it's not really magic. It's just a lot of crypto and some indirection. Okay, so TOR consists of what are called TOR relays. These are proxies that are distributed throughout the world. And when the client wants to talk to a server, he builds what's called a TOR circuit through these relays. Now, the message that the client sends through the circuit are the encryption changes at each hop, and so each relay, the message looks different to each relay. This also gives the property that no single point in this path between the client and the server can link the client and the server together, right? So the client and server are unlinkable. Now, in order to prevent some passive logging attacks, Tor has added what are called guard relays to the design. So the way guard relays works are that a client will keep a small set of guards, currently 3, and for every circuit the client builds through Tor, he will select one of his guard relays as the first hop for the circuit. So what this means is if the client builds multiple circuits, they will all be multiplexed over this guard node. And in fact, the client has a single TCP connection to that guard node, and each of these circuits goes over that single TCP connection. So using the way that this functionality works, Tor has designed a rate limiting algorithm to throttle the client on this connection between the client and the guard. Tor does not enable throttling by default. So relays can manually configure this in their configuration file, and they can manually configure the rate that throttling happens. If Tor were to enable this, every relay in the network that has not manually configured a rate would be using the value that they set in the consensus. Okay. So all the relays would be throttling to the same rate. And so this is what we call static throttling. All right, so far I've talked about the details in the Tor network that allow us to throttle. Now I'll get into the main focus of this work, which is to design adaptive algorithms to throttle the clients. All right, so a guard node services multiple clients. The main two questions a guard needs to answer is which of these clients should he throttle, and at what rate should he throttle those clients. And when designing these algorithms, we had the following two constraints in mind. The first one is that we would like to decide on throttling rates using only local information to a relay. And the point of this is to limit the amount of information that's leaked to the other relays in the network. The second constraint is that we'd like our algorithms to be unsupervised, so that they do not require tweaking or modification of configuration options over time. Okay, so we designed three different adaptive throttling algorithms. The first one is fairly simple. We call this bit splitting. So in the bit splitting algorithm, the guard node will adaptively adjust the throttle rate. Okay, so in this example, we have two different client types. We have a web user who downloads roughly at 29 kilobytes per second, and we have a BitTorrent user type who will download as much as he possibly can. So in this example, the guard node has 1200 kilobytes per second capacity, and using the bit splitting algorithm, he will simply throttle each of these connections at the same rate, so at 300 kilobytes per second. So notice that the web users in this case won't actually be affected because their download rate is below the throttling rate, but the BitTorrent user will be affected. So another thing to notice here is that as with most throttling algorithms in the context of Tor, this guard node will actually be underutilizing his capacity. He has 1200 kilobytes per second, and if he throttles the BitTorrent user at 300K and the other web users are only using 29K, he actually has extra capacity available that he's not utilizing. And this is intentional. Although he may not be using his capacity, he's actually preventing these high bandwidth users from pushing more bytes on the network that some other relays in the path might be negatively affecting them. So there are already bottlenecks. And if this guard node lets more bandwidth, more bytes on the network, it would increase the congestion at other relays. So the second algorithm that we looked at in this work is what we call the flagging algorithm. And with this algorithm, the guard node will adaptively select which connections get throttled. So the idea here is if we can classify which connections are BitTorrent or bulk connections and throttle them aggressively, this would be effective at reducing the problem. So our classification uses an exponentially weighted moving average throughput heuristic to classify connections. Our third algorithm is what we call the threshold algorithm. And this combines both of the questions, and it adjusts both the throttle rate and the selected connections. So in this example, the threshold is 50%, so the guard node will throttle the loudest half of the connections. And the rate that he throttles them at is the slowest of those half of those loudest 50%. So in this example, he's throttling the loudest two connections at 29 kilobytes per second. So the idea here is that even if he's throttling some of the web users, he will be throttling them at a rate that's approximately average for web users, and so it won't really affect them too much. But it will aggressively throttle the bulk users. So I've described some different algorithms that we looked at. Next, I'll talk about the performance evaluation. So we implemented these algorithms in Tor and experimented with them using Shadow. Shadow is a discrete event network simulator that runs the real Tor software. So using Shadow, we can capture the different protocol interactions that happen inside of Tor. So we configured a private Tor network that runs Tor nodes and different clients. So we have two client types in our simulations. One is a web client who downloads 320 kilobyte files and pauses between downloads to simulate a web browser. And we also have a bulk client type who downloads 5 megabyte files without pausing in between downloads. So we first looked at a lightly loaded Tor network, one that is more lightly loaded than we expect the real Tor network to be. Okay, so these are performance graphs. So again, the x-axis shows download times for these different client types, and these are CDFs. So we experimented with vanilla Tor with no throttling, static throttling, and also each of the three adaptive algorithms that I described. So the first thing to note in these graphs are, if you look at the right graph, the bulk downloads, we can see that each of these throttling algorithms is effective at increasing the time it takes to download bulk files. Okay. Now, each of our adaptive algorithms are more aggressively throttling than the static algorithm. If you look at the left graph, the web downloads, we can see that in a lightly loaded Tor network, throttling the bulk users doesn't really benefit the web users very much. So there's some below some capacity, there's not really much of a benefit in throttling the bulk users. If we look at a more heavily loaded Tor network, things change a little bit. So we can still see on the right graph that our algorithms are effective at throttling. But this time, the web users on the left graph do increase their performance significantly. And the more aggressively we throttle the bulk users, the more performance gain we get from the web users. So this is expected. All right, so last, we're going to look at how these algorithms might give an adversary an advantage in reducing anonymity. So the adversary will have two techniques. We'll use two techniques to try to reduce the anonymity of the network. The first thing the adversary will attempt to do is to learn the circuit throughput. So I'm going to sketch out an approach the adversary can use to learn circuit throughput. So when the client submits a request through the Tor network to a server that in the adversary's control, the server can return a garbage response to the client. And the server can basically have an arbitrarily sized response by adding random data into the headers. So in this garbage response, there is a redirect set, so the client will do a re-request to the same server. So the adversary can use the amount of data he put into the response, the garbage response, and the time between then when he sends that response to when he gets the re-request to approximate the throughput of the circuit. So he can use this to try to affect the anonymity of the network. So the second technique the adversary will use is he will attempt to learn the throttle rate. So this is a fairly simple attack. Basically, the adversary will select high bandwidth Tor relays for the middle and the last position in the circuit, and he will select a high bandwidth server. Then he can simply just create a circuit through every single guard node and just try to download as much as he can through the circuit until he starts getting throttled. And he can measure this throttle rate to determine what how this guard node is throttling. So if he enumerates all of the guard nodes and does the same thing, he will be able to learn the throttle rate of each guard node. So we simulated this attack using Shadow. And it's fairly easy to see the throttle rate of the guard nodes. So here's a graph showing the throughput over time. And we can see that this guard node was throttling at 5 kilobytes per second. So using these two pieces of information, the adversary can try to reduce the anonymity of the network. So we have when the adversary sees the throughput of a circuit, there are a set of potential circuits that he can try to guess which client belongs to that circuit. And he can eliminate potential guesses by knowing the throughput of the circuit. So what we found is, so we're looking at anonymity in terms of Shannon entropy. So the x-axis shows the amount of information lost. So lines to the left means less information is lost. And what we found was that vanilla Tor is the black line. And what we found that was that by throttling connections, we actually improve anonymity by losing less information under these two attacks. So this actually makes sense intuitively. If the adversary can learn the throttle rate, and under the static throttling algorithm, which is the red line, all of the connections are throttled at the same rate. So by learning the throttle rate of one connection, that doesn't give you any information about which circuit, which client it belongs to, right? Because all of them are throttled at the same rate. So to conclude, our goal was to throttle bandwidth parasites. I talked about three adaptive throttling algorithms and discussed how they improve web client performance and anonymity. As I mentioned, we implemented these algorithms in Tor, so our patches are publicly available. There is an open question, how to deal with cheaters. So this throttling relies on the fact that the clients will use the same guard node for all of their circuits. But this is not required in Tor. You could essentially ignore the fact that guard nodes are attempted to improve your security and choose a different guard node for every circuit. And this will allow you to basically get around our throttling algorithms. So this is an open question that we hope to look at in the future. And with that, I will conclude. I would like to take any questions if anyone has them. Thank you.
Please line up at the mic and state your name and affiliation, unless you feel like being really private.
Algus for Dees Google. So I'm curious, in your model of usage, you have the low bandwidth web-only users and the high bandwidth heavy downloaders. I'm wondering where someone using Skype or some other video chat service would fall, and whether your throttling algorithm penalizes someone who uses what some might consider legitimate but still high bandwidth. Well, high bandwidth usage where people might have a very legitimate interest in having it anonymized.
Right, so you've identified one of the weaknesses of our model, actually. We don't have a very rich set of client behaviors currently, and this is a big problem, actually. It's hard to get those behaviors from Tor, since Tor is actually trying to prevent people from knowing what the clients are doing. So yes, you're very right. Our current model is very simplistic. Our bulk users, like downloading something through YouTube or Skype, would probably fall under our bulk users in our model. And there may be legitimate uses of bulk traffic in this. We haven't looked at that. So we hope to improve our client model in the future.
Okay, I have a question. So it's not only an issue of clients using multiple different entry nodes as a way to cheat. They could potentially run their own entry node, right? An evil client could be their own entry node, and that would circumvent the system. Is there a way the rest of the network can protect against evil entry nodes by doing a similar thing, or does that trick not work because of the connection multiplexing?
Yes, so if you use your own entry node, then you're sort of, again, you're evading this problem. There isn't a good solution, I think, unless you somehow do some collaboration between all of the guard nodes, some type of voting thing to say, well, this guy isn't actually servicing the network, he's only servicing this one client, right? And if you use your own entry node and you're also servicing other people, right, then you could argue that you're benefiting the network in some ways, right? If you choose not to service other people and only your own client, then potentially that behavior would be recognizable by others. But you're right, you could also use your own entry and that would get around throttling as well. Did I answer your question?
Yep, thanks. Any other questions? Roger's gonna jump up.
Great stuff. I'm especially interested to see that you've used the shadow full network simulator here rather than just saying, well, I changed my client and it works better for me, so everybody should do it. I'm looking forward to trying out testing this on the real Tor network. One of the things that we should talk about is how can we come up with some sort of measurement infrastructure so that when we run the tests and we deploy it and we flip the switch and it all starts happening, how can we learn whether it's doing what we thought it was doing? So I guess that's another future work that I'd be excited to help see some answers for.
Yes, we should definitely talk more offline about this.
Going once? All right, let's thank the speaker again.